Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free, coast to coast, 800-531-3815. Jeffrey Zabar is our guest. He's our good friend and original member of our Brain Trust. He's chief home officer. His most recent book is called Teleworking and Telecommuting. Jeff, welcome back to the show. Jeff, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There we go.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Andromeda calling.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Good.
That's what happens, folks. It's live radio. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
And you never know.
It's good to have you back, Jeff.
It's great to be here.
One of the things that you've been talking to some folks about and writing about recently is this issue of being a small operator, working out of your home, and being so excited about scoring this really cool customer.
Right.
And then getting even more excited when they love what you do for them, and they just sort of adopt you almost. And
right.
The next thing you know, boy, they're just giving you business, and you're saying, this is wonderful. I mean, you know, this is great. But then you're 100% extension of yourself, aren't you?
Right.
As an independent contractor, as a self-employed person's home-based business, you're 100% extension of yourself, and they're wanting you to do all these things, and it's good for a while, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to even recognize that it happens, because sometimes it starts small and you start doing a little bit of work. And I've had it happen where clients have grown to maybe not that extreme, but where they've grown to upward of 30 to 40% of my business. And some of the people I include in my Sun Sentinel article, which runs in about 3 weeks, and we can talk about it as the time approaches, and I'll give people a link where it'll be. But some of the people I talked to, one guy, it was like 90% of his business, and it wasn't where he sort of, the lines blurred, and he sort of became an adopted employee. But he was working with a company that was outsourcing him to another facility for photography, and so that was 90%. Another woman had two clients that amounted to about 60%. So while no individual client was that big, the two of them that she lost at one time were like 60% of her business. And then there was another person who had was in a similar predicament. It was about 70% of his business when his client, you know, left and filed bankruptcy and shut down and had to reorganize and was able to nullify a bunch of contracts and, you know, say bye-bye to some debt they owed and things like that. But you don't even notice it. It's just sort of like, as they say, scope creep. You know, it starts to grow on you. They start asking for more and more work, and you're not turning it down because those checks keep rolling in, and it's a beautiful thing.
For a long, long time, you're seeing it as a sign of your success.
Right.
You had a vision for what you're doing. And you're seeing it as, this is business. It's what you dreamed of when you started this thing.
Right.
And it's pretty heady, too, Jeff, because these people want you. They like what you do, and they're asking for you. That's pretty heady stuff, isn't it?
As you said, it's everything you went into freelancing, contracting, consulting, independence, and entrepreneurship for. You know, you weren't getting that recognition out there when you were a paid employee, or the recognition had to be split among teams, you know, whatever the case may be, even though you may do more of the work, whatever. You know, this is something now that you're getting all the recognition. So we feel much better about these things.
Well, and there are people listening right now, Jeff, who are saying, bring that customer on. I'm looking for that person.
Right, exactly.
And let me tell you something, folks. We're not minimizing this at all. It's just that what you have to realize is that as a... the smaller you are, Jeff, and I hate to say this, but this is one of those slaps across the face that we all need. The smaller you are, the closer you are to that line between surviving and not surviving.
Right.
And the smaller you are, when you're really small, that means that you probably have very few customers. You know, maybe a handful of customers. I have been where I had a handful of customers.
Right.
And sometimes a handful of good ones. But their needs for you evolve and move up and down, and you're still that one person managing the work and marketing to new customers and taking care of the old customers, and there's just a lot of things to do, and it's really kind of a an insidious thing, isn't it, Jeff, where you sort of settle in with a client?
Well, and again, we don't realize it. It just sort of happens. We're not going to turn it down because it's what we do. Consultants make a living working this way, where they work on a six-month project, and then it's over. And because they've been working on this project, what have they not been doing? They've not been marketing themselves. They've been focused on the project. They don't take the time to go out and, you know, ferret out new work or prospect for new work. So that they may think
they don't have the time,
or they may think they don't have the time, and that's a real concern. If they're so busy that they don't have the time, and that it's. You know, time can be going out to a luncheon once every 2 weeks and spreading out some business cards or calling all old prospects and old customers. But more to the point, you know, they think they don't have the time. They don't go out and prospect. So when a project is over, or when this one big client, the champion, your VP, who you've been working so closely with, that a client gets canned, moves on, is no longer there, and they say, what do we have Blasting Game here for? Why is the bar doing all this work? I mean, that happened to me once, where not as big a client, but somebody moved on, and I was doing a whole bunch of work. And they said, well, you know, this is work that we paid this person to do internally. We shouldn't have been outsourcing this, you know, what ended up being upward for about 3 months. It was over $1,000 a week that they were outsourcing, because this person was essentially lazy and didn't want to do it herself. And so, I mean, I learned this later, but that's what happened. And she moved on, she actually resigned or retired so she could go home and raise kids. So, I mean, I couldn't follow her to a new job. And the people who were left behind had a mandate, don't outsource. And but so you, but, I was but, left to rebuild the business.
But during that time, I mean, it was good business.
It was beautiful.
And there's nothing, and we're not taking anything away from that, folks.
Right.
But the thing is, I'm trying to remember the name of the principle. I always forget this, but there's the principle where 80% of your business comes from 20% of your customers.
Well, and I think that's more of a reality than a maxim.
I think actually somebody named that. There's a name that goes with that. But the thing is, you're right, but it is a reality, and it happens. I mean, I actually used to help companies realize that and try to solve that for themselves. But that's something that small. Contractors, small consultants need to realize, a lot of home-based business owners have to realize, is that that's a reality for us too, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but as I said in my article, 80-20 is a reality. I think it's Pareto's, something like
Pareto.
That.
That's exactly right. I almost said it. That's exactly right. It is Pareto's principle. But the thing is that it's a reality. It's not just, as you say, it's not just a maxim. It's a reality. And,
exactly.
And that means, folks, 20% of your business is one customer,
right,
doing 80% of your business. So
right.
Stand by, Jeff. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's 20 after. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and I think you'll like it. I think you'll like some of the new stuff that we got there, and we've got more to come. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes every week by email, and it's there for you. It's all free. All that stuff is free. The archives, the articles, the newsletter, the whole thing. Jeffrey Zabar, he dropped off for a minute. It's the wonders of technology, folks. When it works, it's wonderful. When it doesn't, it's not. So we'll probably get him back on here in a few minutes, and actually probably a few seconds. But I want to continue to talk about what we were just talking about. I actually wrote an article very similar about issues very similar to what Jeff and I were talking about having too much of your business vested in one customer. And the article was largely around whether you are a true independent contractor or whether you are an employee. And this is a big issue right now. And Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah,
live radio.
There you go. Hey, Jeff, I was just pointing out the IRS. I was about to point out the IRS situation with regard to you being being too vested in one customer. The IRS wants to make sure that everybody pays their payroll taxes.
Right.
And if you're an independent contractor and you're paying your payroll taxes, and everybody's happy.
Well, but what happened? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what happened is you had several years ago where several large companies, including a very large software company that we all know and love or loathe, was laying people off and rehiring them as independent contractors, laying off staff and rehiring them as independent contractors. And as a independent contractor, your employer is not liable for taxes. And so that's where this all, from what I understand, really started, because they saw a wave of this going on. But as you said in your email newsletter this week, very timely topic, there's, as you have, 20 parameters that can be laid out to say whether you're an employee or a contractor. So we saw a trend unfolding this way, where it's not as much what I experience, where one client creeps up in scope, because I never have it get to this extreme.
Well, and what happens, though, is sometimes people do that, though. And they don't realize it, and they actually, you know, especially if they were laid off, and let's say that they weren't even hired, they're not even working with the company that laid them off. It's another company, and this company just likes them so much, and I mean, I actually had this happen to me before. In a way, I had main clients or significant clients to say, why don't you just work for me full time? Why don't you just? But they didn't want to. We weren't talking about an employment situation. They just wanted me to be their only client, and I wouldn't let them do that. But the thing is if I had, what would have happened was I would have settled in with them. I would have said, you know what, this is so nice just being able to go to work. I've got my own company. I can go to work every day. They're paying me a good way, you know, a good hourly rate, and I don't have to market new people. I don't have to do all that, all the selling business. And because, you know, I actually like being an employee, but I wound up not being. Not for, because of anything that I did.
Right.
So you sort of settle into that. But in a lot of cases, nobody's paying the taxes.
Right.
And because the customer says that, he's a contractor.
Right.
And you just don't do it because you've gotten used to the money.
Right.
That happens all the time, Jeff.
Well, it's a hard time. And, I mean, that begs a bigger issue, which is, as an independent, I'm very aggressive about putting money aside to pay my taxes, because I know when a check comes in, Uncle Sam has his hat out and says, okay, where's my shit? Where's my cut? And I'm to the point where I pay monthly, pay monthly taxes, payroll taxes. Mm-hmm. I know that it has to be there, but for a smaller business or somebody who was with a company and got laid off, or somebody who is relatively newer and doesn't have the experience, I mean, you can have all this coin coming in, and your uncle wants you to pay that tax, and we have to do it. And so it's something to keep in mind. I think what probably could be helpful is to run through a few of those ideas. Like, for example, if you're working for a company, if they control your schedule, you know, if they tell you when, where, and how to do the work, you know, if they, and I'm just reading off some of the things that you had written, but, you know, if they really control your life as a worker, you're probably, it sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy routine, but, you know, if they control your life, then you're probably, you know, an employee posing as a contractor.
Well,
we just
like
have to beware.
Just like there are 50 ways to leave your lover, there are 20 ways to find out if you are a contractor or not. And if you're hiring a contractor, you need to know this information, because you need to find out you need to ask some questions about a contractor that you got. And you need to say to them, be a little nosy. Do you have other clients? Am I the only person you're working for?
Right.
And you can ask them, how are you dealing with the taxes? I don't want to have to pay your taxes if I'm not supposed to. And so, by the way, the article, an earlier article similar to the one I wrote this time, has the 20 points already on the website, on my website at jbsba.com. Jeffrey, give us your website, please.
I'm going to have www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
And can they find your book there?
They can find my books there, all sorts of information, tips, free download articles, how to run a small business, how to run a home office, et cetera. It's all there.
Yeah. It's chiefhomeofficer.com, right?
That's it.
And the books are available also wherever books are sold. Jeffrey, good job today. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jim. It's great being here as usual.
See you next time.
Great. Be well.
Jeffrey Zabar, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages with Rich Galen. Stay with us. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.